message this morning is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 17 verse 1 to chapter 19 verse 3, safety in heeding scripture above all else. We believers in Christ today face opposing claims from various sources that can greatly affect our welfare. We face it regarding our spiritual welfare. George Will with the Washington Post has a column, and he wrote 1619 Undeserving of Pulitzer. In the May 7 issue, it was recorded in the Republican American. He critiqued the New York Times articles that claimed that the nation's real founding was the arrival of 20 slaves in Virginia in 1619, meaning that the nation is about racism. Mr. Will countered this assertion, writing that America was founded on the moral majesty of the first modern nation's Enlightenment precepts, proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence and implemented by the Constitution. However, the Enlightenment that extolled human reason eventually led to liberal theology's denial of the divine inspiration of the Bible. So one must watch that countering the New York Times 1619 project by exalting the 18th century Enlightenment does not lead to the sanctioning of unbiblical liberal theology. We also face opposing claims that can affect our physical health. Jonah Goldberg wrote a column, The Unmasking of Idiocy, in the Sunday Republican, May 10. He reported various cable TV and talk radio hosts have embraced the idea that wearing a mask in this pandemic is a concession to tyrannical social engineers and a symbol of fear, in the words of Rush Limbaugh. Mr. Goldberg took the opposing view, claiming that wearing a mask is done to ensure that you won't kill someone's grandmother. So the debate is both huge and consequential. A letter by Tina Porta of Essex, Connecticut, opposing the shutdown, asserted not even 1% of the population of the state has been hospitalized or died from the Wuhan virus, yet we have destroyed an economy in a few months over it. Yet estimating that 1% of our state's population is 35,000, and Governor Ned Lamont has said in a really bad flu season we lose about 100 people, his claim that COVID-19 has killed 3,000 state residents suggests the virus is still 30 times more deadly than the worst flu season, even if the virus has not hospitalized or killed even less than 0.1% of our state's people. While adding fuel to the flame, I personally heard several local and national radio talk show hosts claim that the shutdown was just a political power grab, that governing officials really don't care about the economy or the people. So we come to the need section of sermon, and we ask, what does God direct if various sources sharply differ on issues that affect our welfare? The message this morning is covering two chapters and a bit of a third, so instead of going through the verses themselves, I'm just going to go through the notes. Judah's good king Jehoshaphat made an alliance with Israel's wicked king Ahab that so impacted Jehoshaphat's thinking that he made a foolish and a dangerous decision. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, 1 to chapter 18, verse 28. When Jehoshaphat came to Judah's throne, he generally led the nation to follow the Lord. He began his reign by strengthening his nations militarily, what actually violated God's Deuteronomy 17, 16 directive that his people's kings rely on God for that need. However, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord instead of idols, contrary to what the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel were doing, so God graciously blessed him. He even sent princes, Levites, and priests out to teach his subjects God's law, so God richly blessed the nation, causing Gentile nations around to respect Jehoshaphat and to bring him gifts. However, Jehoshaphat then made an alliance with Israel's wicked king Ahab. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, 1, it says, Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. The word adjoined affinity actually has the word in it of marriage. He joined Ahab through means of marriage. He actually gave his son in marriage to Ahab's daughter. Now Ahab's daughter was a lady by the name of Athaliah. Remember her. She turns out to be a very wicked lady who assumes the throne and tries to annihilate all of the seed of David. So this was a big, big mistake and big error on Jehoshaphat's part. Well, Ahab took advantage of the alliance to manipulate Jehoshaphat into joining him in war against Aramea.
Israel's King Ahab invited Jehoshaphat to a great big feast that was given in his honor. Ahab then used the event to persuade Jehoshaphat to join him in battle against Aramea. However, Jehoshaphat agreed to help Ahab, providing they sought God's will from a prophet of the Lord. So Ahab gathered 400 of his false prophets who all agreed that Ahab would defeat the Arameans. Now, according to Ahab, these are prophets of the Lord, but Ahab's prophets of the Lord were involved in syncretism. They mixed the worship of God and scripture together with the golden calves. You remember that. Well, Jehoshaphat picked up on this right away. He knew that was not right. So Jehoshaphat, knowing these prophets were false, insisted on hearing a true prophet of God, one that was not involved in the golden calf worship at Bethel and Dan. So Ahab reluctantly agreed to summon a guy by the name of Micaiah, a true prophet who always criticized him. Micaiah reminds me of an ancient Baptist. That's all I can say. I say that as a Baptist pastor, but he spoke it right from the hip. He shot right from the hip. He didn't, fudge. Micaiah revealed that were the coalition to fight Aramea, Ahab would die, and that God had let a demon led Ahab's 400 prophets to predict that it was safe for him to go to battle against the Arameans. That's a pretty broad thing. You got 400 false prophets there, and you're saying, look, the Lord has let a demon go ahead, and he's in the mouth of all 400 of these prophets, and I might be in the minority, but I'm correct. They're all wrong. Pretty bold. Well, Micaiah's message angered a false prophet by the name of Zedekiah. So Zedekiah came up and he slapped Micaiah in the face. And Micaiah predicted that Zedekiah would later hide himself when his prophecy about Ahab's victory was proven false. I somehow like Micaiah. he was honest. He was not a diplomat, but he was honest. He gave the truth. Well, Ahab reacted to Micaiah's prophecy, and he ordered that he be imprisoned and fed very sparingly until Ahab returned from battle. And Micaiah replied that if Ahab ever returned safely, he was not a true prophet of the Lord. So remarkably, Jehoshaphat foolishly chose not to believe God's prophet Micaiah, and he went ahead and he joined Ahab in battle. It's incredible. This is a man, a king, who is a king who followed the Lord, and he's all of a sudden, he's being manipulated and he's being influenced by Ahab because of his unity with Ahab to go ahead and follow Ahab into battle, and his life is at risk. Well, Jehoshaphat's bad, dangerous decision nearly cost him his life. Ahab thought there might be some truth to Micaiah's prophecy, so he chose to disguise himself while Jehoshaphat wore his royal robe as they went into combat. Another foolish decision by Jehoshaphat. For Jehoshaphat to wear his royal robe, he's actually putting a great big target right on his chest, saying, please hit me first. He's dressed like a king. He's got his crown on and everything. Ahab doesn't. So who are the enemy going to think is the king? They're going to think it's Jehoshaphat. Well, that's exactly what happened. The Arameans initially believed Jehoshaphat was Ahab by his clothing, so they prepared to attack him until Jehoshaphat cried out, and God graciously caused the Arameans to cease confronting him. I would think if I were the Arameans, he's one of the kings. Let's do away with him. Let's look for Ahab. But no, they withdrew. They left Jehoshaphat alone. This is obviously a working of God. Then an Aramean randomly shot an arrow. We've had a number of soldiers here in our church before, and I talked to them about, when you're in combat, do you ever randomly shoot? And they laugh at me, say, no, we want to make every bullet count and make it count immediately. Well, here's a soldier who just took an arrow and just shot it at random. And that random arrow hit Ahab in a joint of the armor. Apparently it was a joint between two pieces of armor that came together, and there was just a little hole there. And guess what? That's exactly where the arrow went. And it went, and it hurt him. Well, he shot an arrow, and it eventually fatally wounded Ahab. Ahab started to bleed, and they kept him in the battle, and he eventually bled to death there in the battle scene. And that fulfilled Micaiah's prophecy. Jehoshaphat safely returned home from battle, and he was probably stunned by everything that had happened. At that particular point, there was a prophet of God that came out to meet him, and I'd like to read those verses. In 2 Chronicles 19, 1, 2, and 3, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, or the prophet, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." The prophet Jehu critiqued Jehoshaphat for helping wicked Ahab and loving those like him who hated the Lord. So Jehoshaphat would face God's wrath to some extent in his future as a king. Whenever I read this passage, I'm reminded of the tremendous need for those of us who are in leadership, whether it's kings or pastors or leaders in the church and so forth, to make sure that we don't send mixed signals by our associations. If I, as a pastor, were to associate with another pastor who denied the gospel of Jesus Christ or who denied some of the truths that they teach in the Word of God, that would send mixed signals to you as a congregation. So to protect you, I actually hold back on my relationships, especially with other pastors, other spiritual leaders, so as not to send mixed signals. Jehoshaphat was sending mixed signals here, and that was wrong. And then he was actually helping Ahab, which was worse. So as a result of that, God's wrath, to some extent, would be on his future. And we're going to see this in our next message, how God began to demonstrate his anger on Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, since Jehoshaphat had done some good things, like removing false idols and preparing his heart to seek the Lord, Jehu predicted that God was still disposed to bless him. A big lesson here, though Jehoshaphat was generally a good king, his union with wicked Ahab led him to be badly deceived into believing a demonic lie instead of believing God's prophet Micaiah, and it nearly cost Jehoshaphat his life. So, may we heed God's command to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. You may be listening this morning by way of the internet, either the video or the MP3, and this whole COVID-19 pandemic has really gotten to you. You're wondering what needs to happen. What might God be doing to the world? God right now, incidentally, is involved in trying to get the attention of the world. And God is concerned that people obey him in regards to his Son. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the Apostle Paul said that God commands people everywhere to repent in regards to his Son. Believing in Jesus is not an option in God's view. He sent his Son to die a terrible death on the cross for the sins of the world. And now he expects the world to believe in his Son. So if you're out there and you need Jesus Christ, or you may be in our service this morning and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you must believe in him, accept him. That's the command of God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Then for our safety, may we avoid ungodly associations that can lead us to be deceived into disobeying the Lord, and obey his word above all other sources to the contrary. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17 tells us that scripture is our ultimate authority. As a pastor going through this pandemic, and I seek to come up with messages for the people of God, I don't dare come up with my own ideas. I'll tell you what, the ideas of experts out there, they're conflicting with one another. Governors are conflicting with one another. Governors and legislators are conflicting with one another, and with the president. They're all over the place. We need a sure word, and that word is from God. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17. Romans 3:4a says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." So there it is. Only God can and is always capable of giving us the truth. So to illustrate this message, we're going to apply its lesson to the issues that are presented in our introduction. On both George Will's promotion of the Enlightenment's moral majesty and the claims of either side of the COVID-19 debate on how guarded we should be against the virus, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 in the English Standard Version states, "To the teaching and to the testimony." In today's lingo, that means let's get back to the Bible. The verse goes on to state, "If they will not speak according to this word," that would be this saying, "it is because they have no dawn, literally. That is, they lack even the hope of gaining greater insight, like the dawn's light that brings promise of a bright and a brighter day that is to come. So if we do not say, let's get back to the Bible, we live in such great darkness that we have no hope of even gaining future true insight, even if looking to any human source, like Jehoshaphat looked to Ahab and his false prophets in place of the word of God. Someone might say, well, wait a minute, they have 400 prophets saying one thing, one prophet's over here. 400 against one, we better believe the 400. Truth does not always reside in the majority opinion, let me tell you. Sometimes it resides in the minority opinion. You have to check Scripture. So regarding both the 18th century enlightenment and COVID-19, we must not rely on just our own judgment or that of anyone else, but on Scripture for God's guidance, lest we walk in dangerous spiritual darkness. Accordingly, we view Scripture on George Will's alleged moral majesty of the Enlightenment and the Declaration of Independence, and note that that declaration violated Romans 13, 1 and 2 by its stated rebellion against the King of England. Now, Romans 3, 1 and 2 says, there is no power but it be of God. And when our forefathers wrote the Declaration of Independence, they violated that passage by coming up with the Declaration of Independence. Now, I am an American. I was born an American. I'm very grateful for the rights and the liberties that we have in our country. I love my country. Please don't get me wrong. But the Declaration of Independence was in direct violation of Romans 13, 1 and 2. I've read that declaration several times, and every time they get to the point where they say, therefore, we're going to do this, I think, no, 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 you can't. That's sinning against Romans 13. So the rights we enjoy as Americans are a blessing, but our nation was formed in sin. Psalm 119, 105 claims that we are in a world of darkness, the Enlightenment included, so we need Scripture to guide us in the truth. The Enlightenment produced a lot of good things. It got people to thinking and using their heads instead of just relying on what someone said just because they said it. But if you follow human rationality far enough and you depend solely on human rationality, you actually get into liberal theology that denies the inspiration of Scripture, so you got to watch it. Also, we view Scripture on COVID-19, and note that we have before said 1 Timothy 5:23 calls us to use home remedies and practice good hygiene. I've stated that before. This last week I found out by doing some research that they have found that vitamin D and zinc, the people in the nations that have had the highest loss of life with COVID-19 have been people who predominantly are very low on vitamin D and zinc. But those people who are high in vitamin D and zinc have had a relatively low death rate. These things don't keep you from getting it, but it can really help mitigate. I've even read now where doctors themselves are taking doses of vitamin D and they're giving it to their families. Now, when doctors do that, it's something to pay attention to. But that's basically a supplement, and that helps your immune system. Also, Romans chapter 13, 1 and 2, 1 Peter 2, 1 to 17, and Proverbs 21, 1. These are all verses that we've alluded to before in this series. Romans 13, 1 and 2 talks about every power we're supposed to be subject to. 1 Peter 2 talks about being subject to every ordinance of man. And Proverbs 21, 1 says that the heart of the king is in the hands of God. He turns it like an irrigator turns an irrigation ditch. They call us to obey governing officials, and here's why. Romans 13, 1 and 2 and 1 Peter 2, 1 to 17 were written of believers who lived under Nero, who persecuted Christians. So when Paul and Peter were telling Christians to honor the king, they were saying, honor Nero. And we know what he did. He fed Christians to lions, all right? He burned them at the stake. So nevertheless, that even if the man is wicked. So these passages order us to obey rulers even if they're evil. So even if governing officials err, or they infringe on our rights, or if they intentionally hurt our economy, I'm not claiming that anyone is, but maybe there are some officials who are intentionally trying to hurt the economy. Let's take that for the sake of argument. These passages teach God is still sovereign over them, So we must heed them until those officials actually tell us to do what violates Scripture. And then Acts 5:29 calls us to heed Scripture over them. It's incidentally this morning we're meeting here because I have a paper that actually quotes our governor, who allows us to meet numbers of 50 or less. He did highly recommend that people who are 60 and over not attend unless the church meets outside. I'm 60 or over, but I'm far enough away. I feel I can do this. Also, our fire marshal allows us to have 208 people in here. Half of that would be 104. So having 50 people isn't even a quarter of what the fire marshal wants. And grocery stores allow you to have half of what the fire marshal. So we're way within the bounds. And we've left it up to masks. If people want to wear masks when they're interacting with us, we certainly allow that. But I've read things pro and things con on masks, even by officials, so you got to watch it. Also, we have also before learned that Revelation 3:21 with 7:17 reveals that we are in a mini great tribulation era right now, when God punishes sinners, and he's going after the church primarily, but he's also going after the world. So he may even let demons foment lies on the general public. That's what happened in 2 Chronicles 18:18-21, to punish those like Ahab and his false prophets who sin. So to be safe, we must heed governing officials until they tell us to do what violates Scripture. The reason we closed the church down is because the President of the United States recommended people not meet if there were 10 or more. So we closed it down, even though the governor was still allowing us to stay open. Then when the President has since retracted his recommendation, he's turning it over to the governors. We're back under the governor's rule. So since we're under the governor's rule in regards to that, that's why we were free to open up. However, and this is happening a lot, let me tell you, if governing officials provide the general public mixed signals on their mandates or recommendations, or if such officials contradict themselves or counter one another as officials, and I've heard plenty of that, guess what? Proverbs 1:4 calls us not to be naive, that's the Greek word, Hebrew word peti, but to use sensibleness or ma, to rely on our own best judgment. So that's what we're doing. We're seeking to rely on our own best judgment to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. So may we trust in Christ for salvation from sin. Then for safety in today's world, may we avoid ungodly alliances that influence us to disobey Scripture and heed God's word above all other sources to the contrary. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning I'm so grateful for the privilege that you have granted us to be able to meet here together. We thank you for the Word of God that gives us direct insight as to what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And thank you for your care and watch care over us as a body, over those who are listening, over those who are here this morning, and even over people who may be tuning in to the webcast. And we would ask, Father, that as Christians, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we would really get to the point where we see the tremendous importance of paying attention to Scripture and Scripture alone, and that we watch our associations as a result so that we don't get deceived and get into that which is erroneous. And Father, if there is anyone who is listening who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see their tremendous need this morning, right now, to put their trust in him that they might have eternal life and go to be with you someday in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.